Welcome to episode 1078 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, in a special episode, we will witness perhaps the most pivotal moment in human history, the day paradise was lost. We step into a divine courtroom where the fate of humanity hangs in the balance. The charge? High treason against the king of creation. The evidence? A forbidden fruit. The consequences? They will echo through the centuries, affecting every human being who will ever live.
Picture Eden, paradise in its purest form. Every tree laden with fruit, every flower in perpetual bloom. The air itself seems to shimmer with the presence of God. But something has changed. The harmony is broken. The music of creation has hit a discordant note. This morning, the garden awakened to whispered lies and fatal choices. Now, as evening approaches, fear hangs thick in the air like gathering storm clouds. Listen, footsteps. The Creator approaches His creation.
Adam, where are you?
The question echoes through the garden, not a question of location, for how can one hide from omniscience, but an invitation to confession?
I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself.
Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?
The woman you put here with me. She gave me the fruit from the tree and I ate it.
Notice the accusations flying like arrows. The woman you put here. Adam, the first man, becomes the first to shift blame, not only to his wife, but to God himself.
Eve, what is this you have done?
God, it's not my fault. It's the serpent. Who knew that serpents could talk, and he has wings and he can fly? The serpent. The serpent deceived me and I ate.
The circular dance of blame continues. From man to woman to serpent, each seeking to escape the weight of their own choices.
All rise. The divine court is now in session. The Creator God presiding in the matter of the kingdom of heaven versus the serpent, Eve, and Adam.
Approach, deceiver. Because you have done this, you are cursed above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, eating dust all the days of your life. More than this, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel.
In this moment, wrapped within the curse, the first promise of salvation rings out. Even as judgment falls, mercy rises.
Now to you two, yes, you two. Woman, step forward.
Oh God, oh Heavenly Father, I know what I did was wrong. I am deeply, deeply sorry.
This is not the time for you to speak. Your punishment will touch the very core of your created purpose. I will greatly multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, yet he shall rule over you. The harmony of marriage will become a struggle for dominion. Adam, approach your Creator. Because you listened to the voice of your wife rather than your God, and ate of the tree about which I commanded you, saying, "You shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return."
The sentences had been pronounced, the first trial in human history concluded. But this was more than just judgment. It was a revelation of the human condition and God's response to our rebellion.
As we reflect on this profound moment in human history, let's unpack the layers of meaning and their implications for our lives today. First, let's examine the nature of sin revealed in this account. Sin begins with questioning God's goodness. The serpent's first move was to cast doubt on God's character. Did God really say? This same tactic continues today when we doubt God's intentions for our lives. Sin progresses through self-deception. Eve saw that the fruit was good for food and pleasing to the eye. How often do we similarly rationalize our disobedience? Sin culminates in broken relationships. Notice the immediate aftermath: shame, fear, hiding, and blame. The vertical relationship with God and horizontal relationships with each other shattered simultaneously. But the heart of this passage isn't actually about sin. It's about God's character in responding to sin. Let's look deeper. God's initiative. He seeks out Adam and Eve. They hide. He pursues. This sets a pattern that continues throughout Scripture and into our lives today. As Jesus would later say, "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." God's justice. The punishments were severe, but fitted to each party's nature and role. The serpent would crawl, the woman would struggle with childbirth and relationship, the man would toil with creation itself. God's mercy. Even in judgment, grace appears. The prophecy of the woman's offspring, what theologians call the proto-evangelium, points to Christ's eventual victory over Satan. Clothing is provided. Life continues. Hope remains. The consequences pronounced that day explain so much about our world. The pain in childbirth reflects the costly nature of bringing new life into a fallen world. The struggle between spouses mirrors our broader struggle with authority and submission. The thorns and thistles represent creation itself resisting human dominion. The sweat of labor reminds us that work, though good, is now difficult. The return to dust establishes the pattern of death entering human experience. Yet within these very consequences, we see God's wisdom. These hardships serve as reminders of our need for redemption, catalysts driving us back to God, signs pointing to our need for a Savior. And this brings us to the magnificent promise hidden within the judgment. Genesis 3:15, the first gospel proclamation. God promises that from the woman would come an offspring who would crush the serpent's head. This is our first glimpse of Jesus Christ, the second Adam, who would face Satan's temptation without failing, take the curse of sin upon himself, crush the serpent's head through his death and resurrection, restore what was lost in Eden. Every struggle you face, whether in relationships, work, or your own nature, echoes back to this ancient courtroom scene. But so does every promise of redemption. The same God who pronounced judgment also promised salvation. The same God who expelled from Eden also prepared a way back through Christ. Your daily battles with sin, your struggles with work, your relationship conflicts, these aren't just random hardships. They're reminders of both humanity's fall and God's persistent grace. In Christ, the second Adam, we find hope for restored relationships, meaningful work despite difficulty, victory over temptation, eternal life conquering death.
Years ago, in a garden I can still see in my dreams, I stood before my Creator, naked in more ways than one. I blamed the woman.
I blamed him.
But looking back now, after watching my children's children wrestle with thorns and dust,
after burying my own son,
I understand something. That day when he pronounced judgment, he also made a promise. And though these hands have grown weary from tilling cursed ground, they've also held the hope of new life. Perhaps that's what he was teaching us even then. That from dust, cursed though it may be, his promise will still spring forth.
Father, thank you for pursuing us even when we hide in fear and shame. Help us to recognize your justice and mercy in every challenge we face, and to place our trust in the one who crushed the serpent's head. May we live daily in the hope of redemption through Jesus Christ, our Savior and King. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.